All right. Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're pumped that you're with us. It's a beautiful Youngstown day.
Didn't record.
I was giving him a hard time. Last week, we started. We had to restart because he didn't hit record. you were just away. You were enjoying the sunshine, vitamin C of Virginia Beach. And you had a good time with the family and stuff.
Yeah. My favorite part of this is that we do an adventure course when we're there.
Okay.
Okay. And this is the same story as last time where, you know, you get hooked up, you go 20, 40 feet in the air and you run none of these obstacles. Like you're hooked in with a security harness. Mm-hmm. And so when you first start, you're like a little bit, you know, a little bit hesitant because you're so far in the air. And then once you like get that you're not going to fall and die, you start treating these obstacles like you're 2 inches off of the ground. Mm-hmm. And that transition is like a teachable thing.
Yeah.
Like if you could just know that you're going to be safe, all of the shit that you could do once you're in that, that element.
So true. So we took the kids to the fair and our kids have branched out and they're starting to do the bigger rides and the faster rides and the taller rides. And it has been wild to me to watch my two oldest watch a ride and go, well, that's too fast, that's too high, you know, I wouldn't do that, it's scary. And then to watch my two youngest who don't have the same inhibitions, Benjamin rode like an adult roller coaster. He was not tall enough for this thing. I mean, he was on his tippy toes and the guy was like, go ahead. And he had a blast. Yep. I mean, the joy that exuded from him the first time he came off. I mean, he gave me the biggest high five and I mean, was beaming ear to ear. And he made my wife go back and ride it with him like 3 or 4 more times. And the others were like, let's go to the kiddie rides. Let's go over on the swings or whatever. And they were just missing out. But it was the psychological side of exactly what you're talking about, where people, I kept saying, I'm like, guys, it's totally safe. Like you're strapped in, you're seatbelted in, you're not going to fall out at that height. And they get to a spot in their head where they don't believe that. And so what they believe is that they'll fall out and die. And so therefore they don't do it. And it's the same sort of that. And that translates and parallels over into life. You know, people believe that they're not going to make it. They believe if they say yes to that opportunity, that, you know, it's going to fall apart or it's no good. And so they keep themselves in a box that they create and they never do anything exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, Ryan looked at a couple of these obstacles and it was intimidating when his brain started kicking in there. A couple of them, you could see that I don't want to be doing this. And when you're in it, like before it, your brain working against you. When you're doing it, your brain's working against you. But when it's done, you're like, I'm so glad I did that. But those two people, if you made them talk before it, it would be, you'd have a better chance of tackling these things.
There's a quote from a missionary, a guy named Hudson Taylor. And he says, there's three phases to the work of God: impossible, difficult, done. And I love that because in the beginning of some of these endeavors, when you're trying to help, you know, people who can't feed themselves get food, or you're trying to battle homelessness, or you take on one of these justice projects, or you're trying to make your world better, to everyone around you, they're like, that's impossible. Like, you know, how could you possibly think that you're going to make a dent in that? Right. And everybody's got a critique of the person doing that. And so it looks impossible in the beginning. And then in the middle of it, you're wondering, well, did I bite off more than I can chew? Like you're in, but it's difficult. And then you come out the other side and you're like, wow, we actually did make a dent. We actually did something. And it's done. So I definitely think that's true. And most of the time it's what we see that keeps us from actually stepping out and doing it. So we have to retrain our eyes to see things a little differently. How do you train your eyes to see opportunities where others see impossibilities?
So I've done this for so many years that little fear voice is so underdeveloped and has such a weak voice that when I see him come out, it's almost like a little bit of it's a little bit funny, like because I'll entertain it just for the sake of it, because I know it's so weak in my psychology that it doesn't really have a say. And it's not that I'm fearless or I'm, you know, it's not that you know, that I don't care. I'm indifferent to it. It's literally the more you exercise the fear muscle, the stronger that it gets. And it becomes voiced in your strength and courage muscle. It's just the opposite. Yeah. If you want to develop courage, you got to feed it and you want to starve out the one that's not so courageous.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think that the direction that we kind of want to navigate today's show, and we've already kind of introed it, is talking about saying yes to those opportunities, these consequences of yes. I think that's how Lucas put it to us before the show, the consequences of saying yes. There are some great consequences to saying yes. And I love that word consequence because it is substantial, significant, and consequential for you to say yes to things. But so many people are trained to say no that they never get to discover those consequences. Most people assume the consequences are negative, but when you say yes to enough things, not just even the right things, enough things, the blessings far outweigh the bad stuff that may
happen. When you're strengthening that muscle, think about it this way. You're systematically exercising something that's a little weak until it's no longer weak. Same thing with opportunities. Yeah. If all you do is when an opportunity visits you, say no, it just gets quieter and it stops visiting as often. But when you start saying yes to things, that it visits more often, it's more pronounced, and you're looking for things that way. So you're changing the math in the world around you by saying yes to things.
It's interesting when someone comes to me and they say, you know, I feel like, God's speaking to me in dreams, or, they feel like they have some sort of like, some people would call it like a gut instinct, a kind of a spiritual space where they're understanding something they shouldn't understand. And they'll say, you know, I don't know what to do with that. You know, I keep having these dreams. And I always say to them, you know, what you honor, you'll reproduce. So write it down, hold on to it, read through it. You know, if you have a dream, get up, write it down. And when you give it that place, guess what? You produce more. If you just discard it, it was just a silly dream, you just
misspent it.
Exactly. So, and the same thing's true with opportunities.
And money. I mean, same thing with money.
Yeah,
if every time you have a dollar in your hand, all you do is misspend it, then dollars don't visit you. But if you take money and you make the more value than that, it visits you all over the place.
Yeah. Well, and I think people don't seem to understand that concept for most things. They look at it, you know, you reap what you sow, but whether you believe you're right or you're wrong, you're right.
Sure.
You know, and so people have this perception that, well, some people just get all the opportunities. Well, that's because they keep saying yes to the opportunities, and so it brings more their way. A lot of people look at their life and it's always half empty. The cup's never full enough. And so they're always in a position of lack. They're always in a position of negativity. And so if we can position ourselves to say yes to stuff, sometimes they're like, well, should I say yes to that? There are a lot of times people will be like, I think that I'm like, yeah, let's do it. We were talking about Halloween beforehand. Halloween's not my wife and I's favorite holiday, but you were telling me this idea. And I'm like, when are we doing it? For me, like those sort of things, I have had more blessings and more opportunities come my way because I've said yes to stuff that really wasn't in my wheelhouse. It wasn't something that I was like, oh, that'd be really kind of cool. But you just say yes, and then you say yes again, and then you say yes again.
There are many things that you can count that you said yes to. You're like, man, I really wish I wouldn't have done that. You know, that was a life
ending. Most of the time you forget about them.
Yeah,
for sure. The ones that don't pan out, or the ones that, it cost me a few $100s, or it cost me a few $1,000s, or whatever. At the end of the day, like, yeah, some of them like, oh, that stung. But then a year from now, 2 years from now, oh, we did that? I totally forgot. But the ones that pan out, remember those for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And the multidimensional facet visits this one too, because a lot of times that you do the thing that you really didn't want to, but did it, you didn't see the benefit, but you do another one that's like it. But by the third thing that you wouldn't do, something really hits that would have never happened had you gone through the other two things that got you there.
When I've shared this on here before, so I won't belabor this, but Israel was not a thing for me. It was something that happened 5,000 years ago or 5,000 miles away. It was inconsequential as far as I was concerned. And I got invited to a pre-meeting for a Celebrate Israel event. And I was like, well, I guess I'll go. I didn't know what I was getting into. I went to the event and I was like, what is this? You know, it was kind of outside of my comfort zone. But that led to a relationship that led to another thing that led me to a trip to Israel. To now I've led multiple trips to Israel, led me to relationships with people over there. It's led me to a second podcast. It's led me to a whole bunch of stuff that I can point back. And I walked into a room with 12 other people and they said, hey, we're going to do this event for Israel. And I went, well, this really isn't my cup of tea, but I'm here because somebody invited me. And I said, yes.
Yep.
I gave it a couple hours of my time. I thought, well, you know, even if it doesn't pan out, at least I'll shook a few hands and met a few people and can move on. And I'm sure you have numerous things like that where you look at, you know, a business lunch you got invited to and you're like, well, I really don't know these people. I'm not really in this industry, but yeah, I guess I'll go and connect or maybe, you know, I'm sure you have, a story like that.
So that's on the external side. And you're absolutely right. Like I made 11 calls today and I don't have an end for why I made those calls. I want to figure it out as we go. There's no, there's nothing I can even explain to somebody why I'm calling you. Like, I've been doing this, all this stuff, and you came to mind. What do you think? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now there's an internal version, of this as well. And, you know, where our subconscious brain is really misunderstood. And, you know, your example, when people are getting intuitions or they're getting, they're getting
dreams. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. And so what happens is once you start figuring that you want something, like it's going to visit you either externally or it's going to visit you internally. And a lot of times when you're programming your subconscious to start digging for things, it's going to dig up stuff either in your memories or from the outside world, things you saw, but you didn't perceive that you saw. And it starts telling you things. If you listen to that voice, it would be more pronounced. You know, it sees things that it doesn't register that you saw. Right. And so when you say something like, you know, I really wish I would go on a trip or I get a new job or I find someone, whatever, your subconscious doesn't really have, you know, doesn't have like a consciousness. It just starts delivering what you asked for. So it starts going through things and saying, maybe if you do this, and you're like, I don't see how going swimming today is going to meet the person of my dreams. But it knows a lot better than you do what the world is around you. And it starts connecting the math that you would have never on your own had the idea for.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because they say in your dreams, you actually, your brain can't create people that you haven't seen or things that you haven't been. So everything that you're seeing at some level in the subconscious has passed by your eyeballs at some point, which is kind of wild.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, those faces or that person or, you know, you'll see like, I don't know if you ever had a dream and you get to that spot and you're like, I know this person, but I don't know this person. You have that like kind of weird feeling in the dream where you're like, I know who this is, but they don't look like I, you know, who this is. And I found that the brain is just fascinating the way that it stores information and, you know, the best supercomputer ever created. So when you say yes to stuff, what are some of those consequences versus saying no? Forget, you know, obviously we can look at specific opportunities and they're the externals, but as you're training your brain to say yes to opportunity, what are some of the things that happen internally? What are some of the things that happen in the rewiring of your brain? What are some of the things that you're creating for your future self?
So it was a practice. Like I have this picture that my wife put up on our dresser, and it has something. It's a reminder to find gratitude in everything that you have. And the training is that it's easy to find gratitude when things are going nice.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It is really sucky to try to dig through something that's making you uncomfortable to find out what you should find a blessing in this. Mm-hmm. And so that pathway, if you can always, you know, like my BMW, you know, a couple weeks into it, it had a dent in the door. I had to find a way to feel good about something that clearly was not making me happy. And so that gratitude practice of being able to always dig through something. Okay, you know what? Hey, it's raining and I can't go to that football game. You know, dig, Joe. Put the imagination there, not to try to be as upset as you could be, but find out like, you know, what possibility. You know, hey, I was denied getting on the freeway because of a traffic accident. Now I got to go the slow way. You can either go be pissed off that you're going to be late, or like, man, what could I have been saved from, or what's going to be on my pathway of going this way? It's a totally different way of thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think I very rarely tell people to use the comparison thing. Because compare and compete, you live in defeat is a little motto that I usually use. But that's when people are looking at somebody else and seeing lack. But there are times where, you know, something breaks in the house. And it's just like, well, thank God I have that to fix. Thank God, you know, there are other people that would kill to live in this house. There are other people that would love to have two cars. You know, like you can always go to that spot, the dent in the door kind of thing, and be like, oh, this stinks. You know, that's $400 I wasn't planning on spending or whatever. And you can spiral. Or, you know what, man, I could point to half a dozen people that would kill to have this house or that car or four kids. You know, like sometimes I get frustrated with my kids and I think there are people out there trying to have babies that can't have babies. And here I am with four kids and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, some days it's like, I just want to break, somebody take them. And I get that. But man, if I stop and pause and rewire, and I said yes to having four kids, and what a blessing it is that I received that. Other people have asked for that and haven't gotten it. And so for me to sit here and complain about, oh, our busy schedule and all this sort of stuff, it's like, hold on a second. That gratitude has to rewire. And so saying, other people have asked for that and haven't gotten it. And so for me to sit here and complain about, oh, our busy schedule and all this sort of stuff, it's like, hold on a second. That gratitude has to rewire. And so saying yes gives, you know, put you in a position where you're thankful for what you have, and it gives you an appreciation and a gratitude totally agree with that.
Yeah. And you mentioned a bunch of shows ago that who you surround yourself with, really make up the difference as to the opportunities that you take. So I guess first before this, if you have environments that are toxic and people are asking you to do stuff and you're like, hey, Joe and Doug, they said to say yes to stuff. So Bob came over here and said, let's smoke some weed. I was like, sure, let's do that. You know, it might be some rearrangements that are necessary before we start saying yes. Yeah. But
we're going to get credit for some things that we don't want credit for, Joe.
No. But I picture a race, right? So I'm in the middle. There's always going to be someone ahead of me. There's always going to be someone behind me. And I use the people that are in front of me to model. So I'm not comparing myself about what they have and I don't and finding out reasons why it's not fair that they have and I don't. Right. I'm like, those are things that I'm going to have, right? And then I turn around. I'm like, okay.
And that's so true to, you know, Bishop Thomas says it to me this way a lot. Stay in your lane. Like, I have a lane that I'm running in. And if I try and run in somebody else's lane, I'm going to trip them. If I try and go too fast, like, I need to be in my pace and then being able to turn around and realize, wow, these people are all running alongside me. Like, this is really cool. We're in the same pack. And then, man, these people behind me here, wow, you know, let me give them some encouragement. Let me give them some help. Maybe if I met with them, or maybe if I made a connection to somebody that I know in their industry, that would give them the boost they need to come up and run with this pack. And then looking ahead, you're absolutely right. That's why we position ourselves with mentors and even those in the industry that we don't know, but we look at and go, wow, you know, they've done this, this, and this. I need to be more risky here. I need to train this muscle to get an advantage. That's awesome. That's a great illustration.
And you got to be objective too about that place that you are in. And there's a lot of people that are not in their lane, like they're in that Bob smoking weed and whatever. Yeah. And that's why they're going to get mixed messages where this is not going to apply, with basically saying, okay, in the pecking order, what have I deserved? What have I entitled to? Where am I really at? And if you can't be honest with yourself about where you are, then this stuff can't work. It really can't.
Yeah. An honest assessment. You have to know, this is who I am. This is what I'm good at. This is what I'm not good at. Otherwise, you'll have the American Idol syndrome where you show up to sing and everybody's like, your mom lied to you. You can't sing.
And it's even more immediate than that. So if I said, hey, I can run a marathon, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I tricked myself into it. These guys are going to hang out. How long before I'm not a marathon runner is it going to be known, right? Yeah. It's that quick, right?
Quickly. Everybody's going to know. Yeah, that's true. And being, it comes down to authenticity. You know, like, obviously we all have a future version of ourselves that we'd like to be. And there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, this is who I'd like to be, or this is where I'm headed. But to purport that you're already that now, to be more honest and more vulnerable to say, well, I'm actually a 5K runner, but I'm headed to be a marathon runner. That's a different animal, because people have respect for that. And those marathon runners will say, hey, I'll come out and run a 5K with you. And you go, oh, okay. Well, how do you do your breathing? And how do you train? And how often do you run? And what does this look like for you? What do you eat? And that changes the dynamic of the relationship. Instead of showing up with a bunch of marathon runners saying, well, I'm a marathon runner too. And they say, oh, how many marathons have you run?
And that's why I hate fake it till you make it so much. Like, I get what they mean by it. Like, I really do. Put yourself
mindset, inner
mind,
mentality.
Frame of mind. Give yourself the benefit of the doubt that you're going to do it. But if you got to know the truth and where you position yourself, because once you start orienting the things around you, you're going to be outgunned no matter what. You're always going to feel like you can't come through and get the victory, and you've already lost.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because this permeates every industry. It permeates every person. There's always a tendency to paint yourself with see yourself with the rose colored glasses. And there's nothing wrong with necessarily painting a positive version of yourself, but there's a difference between positive and delusional. And a lot of people will give a delusional version of themselves on LinkedIn or on Instagram or wherever, or in a business lunch, and they'll put themselves out there, and it doesn't take long for people to be like, turns out that was a lie.
And on the other side is true too. There's some people that sandbag and underplay themselves. And it's as equally as dangerous for your progress if you're in the wrong lane for all of this stuff as well.
It's interesting. I wrestled with that concept of overselling, underselling for a long time. And so, you know, my dad was unemployed. I think when he turned like 40, went on disability, all that stuff. So I was like a sophomore in high school. It was really hard for me, because like all my friends' parents like went to work, and you know, my dad was at home all the time. And then he would like make business cards for like businesses that didn't exist and stuff. And like he would embellish and in some cases just lie about what he did. And it was super embarrassing for me as a kid. But I didn't realize as an adult, I was embarrassed by that. So I actually went in the other direction. And it wasn't until he passed and I went and sat with the counselor for a bit. And as I was telling him that I was embarrassed about my dad in this instance, he looked at me and he goes, I think that you were so embarrassed that you actually do this in the inverse. You know, here you are pastoring a church of a few hundred people. You're leading leaders. You're having seats at these tables and you're just like, oh, it's no big deal. I haven't, you need to pause for a moment and realize like the average size church in America is like 80 people and you're pastoring 2-3 times that, and give yourself some credit in that space. Don't undersell just because you were embarrassed in this moment. And I think there's different reasons people do it, but I know for me, I had to come to that spot, and I wanted someone to come by and be like, you know what, it is a big deal, buddy, and slap me on the back. So not to get into my psychology a little bit, but that's true. People under and oversell themselves when you can have an authentic view of, hey, here's where I'm at and this is who I am. And I'm comfortable in my own skin. People can connect with that. And when you purport to be something that you're not, you have to keep that charade up. Like you have to be able to run the marathon. You tell everybody you do that. And you can only keep that charade up for so long. And eventually, so it's difficult to just not be yourself. And so like, this is who I am. I like this. I don't like this. I like bananas. I don't like, and I need to be okay with that. I don't need to like what everybody else likes. I don't need to do what everybody else does just to be accepted. And a lot of people get into that spot. So, and people need to understand that's not what we're saying by saying, telling people to say yes. It's not just about saying yes so that you fit in or saying yes so that you can bamboozle people, but it's about saying yes to opportunities and the right opportunities, not to be Bob smoking weed in the basement.
Right.
But saying yes to the business opportunities, the luncheon you wouldn't normally go to, the different things that come down the pike that you're like, well, I wouldn't normally do this, but I'm going to say yes to this.
Yeah. You got to think of it as everything that we're saying is about stretching into a place that you're not. And that's how growth happens. So if you're starting, like if you're going to that weight room and you're trying to stretch into something,
I go back already on not Thursday, there, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
Yeah.
But it, literally you don't get to be stretched if you're purporting to be able to do something. Walk in the weight room and they're like, hey, what do you usually lift? You're like 420, you're not going to stretch into that. You're just gonna
hurt.
Yeah, right.
That's what's gonna happen.
But if you're like, you know what, I can usually do 100, and you're like, do 120, right? That's stretching because you started in an authentic place. And it, wrap your mind around it that when it's not like the movie where when they went and they got programmed to say yes to anything, he's doing some crazy stuff, because we're looking for growth here. We're getting to become better as a human being by putting ourselves in situations that we wouldn't have been otherwise.
Yeah. It's those opportunities that come along the way to give when you normally would have kept it, to serve when you normally feel like, oh, I don't have the time, to say hi to somebody you normally wouldn't say hi to at the office. And just like, those are small incremental ways that, you don't know what that conversation leads to, or that $20 gift leads to, or whatever. But saying you've always said no, let's try and say yes. I mean, when we do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, that's crazy. And a lot of people do this in their life. They say no to everything. And like, I don't understand why I have the same life. Well, you got to say yes to something that you've never said yes to before. You got to say yes to, doing a podcast with an entrepreneur when you're a pastor. And what does that look like?
What could happen?
I don't know. But I like talking. You like talking. You're fun. And then here we are. Those sort of things happen because, if I would have said no, I probably wouldn't be doing this podcast with Rabbi. I probably wouldn't have been invited on some of these guest ones. It helped me with some of the stuff I was doing on TV. A number of these things all are connected to a lunch we had at Panera, and you said, what can we do? And next thing we knew, we had some microphones and stuff in a darkly lit closet at the church trying to figure out if we could do this. And then now there's a studio and everything else. So,
all right. So let's talk about this, because I think many more people, if you're in this audience and you kind of got your handle on this, what we said is enough for you, but there's some people that are kind of broken in this way and have no idea how to measure who they really are, because their measurement is what they think they should be or what appeals and resonates with other people. How do you measure, like, how do you really look at yourself from an objective standpoint and not like, your goal is not to decimate yourself and hurt your own feelings. Mm-hmm. And your goal is not to embellish and make yourself feel good about what you are. So how do you author and measure yourself?
Yeah. So two best ways to do it. One, you find somebody who is close enough to you to know your stuff, but loves you enough to tell you the truth. Those are tough people to find. They're rare because most of your friends lie to you. most of your family, they have a perception of you. And so they see everything through that lens. If you can find a healthy person who's nearby that loves you enough to say, hey, this is, you know, here's the five things that I see. You're really good at this. You're really good at this. You're not good at that. You try to be good at this and you put off that you're good at that, but you really suck at that. And somebody that can really evaluate that way. You know, sometimes, you know, my, I have two younger brothers and they both know me pretty well. And my one brother, Don, and I are both pastors. And so we're able to bounce some stuff off each other. And, you know, he's able to say to me, hey, I think you're overreacting that a little bit, you know, or whatever. And it's that honest feedback of somebody who's authentically able to look at me, willing to say that. The other side of it, and people aren't good evaluators of themselves. And that's what's so challenging. That's why there's 97, you know, tests you can take from Enneagram to everything else. Like, who am I? But some of those are really great. You know, the Enneagram's a good one. You know, the DISC assessment is a good one. There's three or four of those personality kind of tests that really can help read into who you are. Now, they're not perfect because there's always somebody that takes those and be like, I'm the outlier. See, this doesn't. And I've been pegged every time on those, you know, but truthfully, most of the time, I'd say, you know, 80 to 90% accuracy on those. There may be a few things that you're like, well, I don't really do it that way, but they can hit your strengths, your weaknesses, who you are from a personality standpoint. I think if you're assessing, you know, work competency or relational competency, you got to get with people in your industry that are willing to, you know, numbers don't lie. So, you know, you're talking about work, like, we'll pull out the spreadsheets and have a conversation. Like, you know, if you have to make an excuse for every quarter, you've probably got an issue. You know, but if you can own it and the numbers match up, then it should be an easy conversation to say, well, actually you're looking pretty good at that in your industry. You know, people typically grow at 12%. You're growing at 15, you know, those sort of objective measures are a great way to do that. Relationally can be tough because what's a good relationship to Joe is a good, different for me and right, different for our wives. You know, what we value in there is determined by personality. So that's tough to put like objective factors on relationships, which is why a lot of people struggle in that arena, because we'd love to run it through a spreadsheet and say, well, I got 5 points of this and 8 points of that. And, you know, I'm doing pretty good.
Plug in the USB cable and download my.
Well, Elon's working on that from right, what I hear.
And I will recommend, too, that you pace yourself with objectivity, because if you go up to yeah, someone and say, tell me everything that's terrible about me, be more specific. Right. Say, maybe how am I at this little yeah, segment? Because objectivity can sting sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if you've trained yourself to receive criticism, and that's a tough thing. Not everybody's able to do that. Some people, if you ask for criticism, my wife and I've been through this. She'll say to me, what do you think of this article of clothing? And I will give said opinion. And she'll be like, I didn't know that you hated that. I was like, I didn't say that I hated it. You asked me if I thought it was good for this. I said, no, it's not good for that.
It's a trap.
I know.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. And I'm like, please don't ask me your opinion about clothes anymore. But we have to train ourselves to hear, you know, the truth objectively. And even sometimes things that aren't necessarily true, in like, we have to be able to hear criticism. You get criticism as a business owner all the time. People don't like the way you did X, or you didn't do this quick enough, or that's too expensive. You hear those criticism of your employee wasn't nice or whatever it is. And you could be like, well, bump that, forget you, dude. You know, like, this is my, this is my company. And, you know, you could tell them to go stick it. And, but you don't, because at the end of the day, all right, yep. You can criticize all you want. Maybe we weren't quick enough. Maybe they were rude. Maybe they were, but you figure out a solution to that. Anybody who takes criticism and sloughs it off or blocks it out usually isn't a healthy person. A healthy person is able to handle the criticism and then move forward into their yes, you know, with it, you know, intact, with their self intact.
Now, I was probably a stupid developer, and I was not good at getting other people's opinions. I didn't want to know what people thought of me. I had to do this internally. So yeah, this whole thing is find some people who will give you objective advice. Even though there probably were people, I didn't want to hear that. I mean, yeah, for some reason. So what I did was I created those seven different pieces of me. Mm-hmm. And rather than like take my report card, when I knew I screwed up, I already came to it before I started. I was like, you know what? You probably have F's in all of these departments. I'm just going to pick a one. And I know I could work on some stuff now. And I figure I never have to look at the actual grade. If I'm always in development, at some point it's going to be an A and I will never know because I'm never going to look at the actual report card. So if I'm like, okay, well, one of these is going to be hurting me most. All right. Well, financially it sucks right now. Okay. So I got an F financially. I know that's out there. Here's what I could do to make that a little bit better. And then every moment that I had the ability, I was improving something in one of those departments. Now, if I could say, hey, how am I doing in the relationship side? You know, I'd be like, wait, don't even answer that. I'm going to go ahead some shit to work on.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, you know, we have to be able to have this honest picture of ourselves, whether we're going to evaluate it through seven areas and whether we're going to personally evaluate, we're going to bring somebody in, because then that lets us know. So you have to have an honest picture of where you're at, and then you have to have an honest picture of where you're going.
Yes.
Because if you don't know where you're going, you know, just saying yes to everything, you know, you might end up in a total wrong direction. You know, if you leave New York City in an airplane and you're just 1 degree off, you'll have packed wrong because you were planning to go to Hawaii, but you'll land in Alaska. So, you know, that little bit matters. And so knowing who you are and where you're starting from is important, and knowing where you're going. And that gives you kind of the banks of the river to where, you know what? Yeah, I can say yes to a podcast. I preach, I teach, I'm pretty comfortable sitting, you know, talking about just about anything. So yeah, let's take a swing at this. I'm good with this. I'm good with that. It fits in my vein. Every once in a while though, there's the thing that comes along and you're like, yeah, this doesn't fit, but I'm going to say yes anyway. And sometimes those are the greatest things.
Oh, heck yeah.
And then sometimes those are the worst distractions. And I think this is what Lucas was poking at us a little bit beforehand, is there are consequences to saying yes. Sometimes saying yes to something that doesn't fit in the banks of that river ends up taking you the long way. But I can tell you, you honestly always get back to where you're supposed to go. So even if you say yes to something,
and you get exposure to things that you have never saw along the other way.
So, I mean, there's huge blessings in saying yes, but if you want to be more tactical with it, you need to know where you're starting from and you need to know where you're going. And then that will give you your boundaries for what you're going to say yes to. You know, and if something falls outside of those lines, then, you know, hey, this could be a side adventure. Maybe we find some treasure, but it's not necessarily, it's actually going to take me longer to get to my goal. Am I okay with that? Then becomes the question.
Yeah. And if you're a self-evaluator like I am, you can't be a person that's going to nitpick and pick everything apart and be that critic, because no matter what you find, it's going to be terrible and you're not going to want to do it. So if you came up to a person that would be objective, they're going to be kind with you. So you got to take the same thing that person that you would pick out of that person's personality, and you got to be that too. So when you come across and say, you know what, my financial situation, while it's not perfect, here are things that I did well, rather than saying, yeah, you're so screwed up, you're never going to do this, right? Because you can be a dick to yourself too.
Yeah, it's all over. I might as well cash it in.
Exactly.
Yeah, cash it out. But and I think that's the challenge for most people, is they want to know that their yes is going to take them towards their goal. And so what you're saying there, for most of our audience, being able to evaluate where you're at and authentically know, and then know that where I'm headed, and then the yeses in between are taking me closer to the goal.
Stretching.
Yep. And it's going to pull us towards that. But for the other people that just get it, saying yes sometimes to some of these side adventures is the best.
Yeah. Because you can dabble. You feel like you're experimenting within your own life, because you know it's not going to make you in one move and it's not going to break. If your life is constructed that one decision is going to either matter or not, you need to go back and get a helper. Need somebody to help. Yeah, for sure.
Seriously.
I really wish too that the audience knew what went into the preparation of the show, what conversations go into it. Like, what do you want to talk about? I love that about this show.
My wife has heart palpitations for me the show. You know, she's like, she needs like the topic in advance. She needs like to think through, this is what I'm saying, this is what I want to talk about. But then really, once she gets into it, she's pretty good. For me, I'm like, I know our general philosophy on life and leadership and all of this. And so we can come into this and, hey, you know, I had this instance this weekend with a rope course and you know, Virginia Beach and obstacle course, and it was awesome. But you know, this is what I observed. And then you say that, and I go, yeah. And at the fair, this is what I observed. And then next thing, we're off to the races talking about yes, because Lucas is like, oh, you guys should talk about you know, the consequences of saying yes. You know, I mean, think about it for Lucas. If he had said no to a job like this, he wouldn't have met me, and I'm pretty awesome, and he wouldn't have met you, Joe, for and sure. You're pretty awesome. So, you know, just the, I mean, those are two huge wins for Lucas. He's got to be giggling about that. But, you know, when you look at that, there's all sorts of stuff that you cut out of your life when you give no's to things instead of yeses. And when I look at the things that I said yes to, there's just so many blessings. There's the gratitude that comes along with it, and the ability to be able to look at life and go, I'm so glad I said yes to so many of these things.
Like, yeah. And when we leave this office, we sort of live what we talk about. Cause yeah. If we can take what we just did yesterday and then weave it into what we're talking exactly. about today, then it's as truth as you can get.
We should come back on Thursday yes. and start the show with two yes stories from Wednesday. Where okay. we said what we said we're, yes to.
Okay.
Maybe that can be like a little fun segment that we'll do. Is like, hey, here's something I said yes to that I wouldn't have normally said yes to, or you know, whatever. And those things for me, like I keep going back in my head here as we're talking. I'm like, I said yes to that, and thank God I did, because it did this and this and this. My son's kindergarten teacher, so Benjamin's in kindergarten. Walk into the room, I'm going, man, she looks so familiar. We're putting this stuff away, and she comes over and she says her name, and she goes, you coached my son 2 years ago in soccer. And went, you know, said how well the family was doing, or son was doing. And I was like, man, how cool is that? If I would have said no to coaching, because I don't have time to do that. But here I made this impact on a parent who's now going to make an impact on my son in kindergarten. Like, you can't add those up. If I'd have said no to that, maybe he has a different teacher. Does he have a bad year, a good year? I don't know. But what I know is that chain reaction started because I said, you know what? I'll coach 5 and 6 year old soccer. You know, it's like herding cats. We just got to get them to run in the right direction. And yeah, did it take a little bit of extra time and that sort of stuff? Yeah, but I made an impact on a kid, made an impact on a family. And then here's this mom going, hey, I want to have that kid because his dad was my son's soccer coach. And you know.
So, but evaluators, people who go too thick and into that evaluation mode, will say, I'll do soccer if you can prove to me what right. it leads to, or else I'm not going to do it, versus the faith that when those things yep. lead to it, it's going to be a surprise what it leads to. But when you get to the thing that it provided, it's going to be like, oh, so glad I did that.
This reminds me of a scripture. It's coming.
Yes, I knew you were going to give me my heart.
You know, in the Bible, it says that he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And that idea of working all things together, you know, when we start to step into these divine moments and some of these small things, we don't even recognize, quote unquote, the hand of God in it. And some people don't, you know, that listen to us don't even believe in God. But when you look at these, you know, they're just not these cosmic coincidences. There's a chain reaction that takes place. And I love the way that scripture says he's like, literally he's pulling all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So when I step into that, like he knew that that lady and her son would be on my team. And that 2 years later, we would have moved houses, been in a different school. And then here comes my son into the kindergarten class. And there's his teacher, like those sort of quote unquote coincidences. You know, I just look at them as being on purpose.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well so, done.
It's good. Say yes to stuff. It's good for you. And when we come back Thursday, we're going to kick off the show Thursday with two things we said, each of us said yes to on Wednesday.
Beautiful.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the